In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
We welcome everybody and celebrate today Father's Day and congratulate the fathers in our midst and also pray for you, but also for the fathers of each here present, both those who have are living and those who have gone on to their eternal rest. We also, of course, are in this Sunday between Ascension and Pentecost, and we hear these in the scripture readings, these two final farewell commendations, first by St. Paul in Acts, his prayer for the church as he was to go on to Rome and his martyrdom, his final commendation prayer with them, and then also, of course, the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ that he offered at the mystical supper before he himself would go to his crucifixion. And so these also, I think, provide some worthy meditation for us, and especially in terms of Father's Day, a few things to reflect upon. One of the things that strikes me, though, that to sort of set the foundation or the understanding of this prayer in Scripture in John chapter 17 that we just heard, I was thinking of how sometimes when our Mormon friends would come and visit us, and you know, they would come on their bikes, their youthful, you know, 20 something or other, and they would come and be like 95 degrees in the middle of the summer, and they'd be wearing their white shirts, you know, but they, every once in a while, I'd actually have some time to sit down and talk with them, and you know, we would exchange how it were theological ideas. One of the things that struck me about them, though, and one of the guys in particular, he was talking about how in the Mormon religion, one of the things that's important to them is the priesthood. There was a sense or a desire to have a restoration of the priesthood. And one of the things that underlies the Mormon religion is this notion of a restored priesthood. Why? Well, because probably in the theological milieu in which Mormonism arose, there was no priesthood. In much of Protestantism, there is very little of a sense of a priesthood. And so is it not, would you not wonder why that was so? And even the desire to see a priesthood based, you know, in the scriptures, that is a good thing. Okay? Now, of course, part of the Protestant experience of that was that the rejection really of a formal priesthood, save perhaps in the Anglican tradition, where it was maintained, a liturgical life and a priesthood. But in many of the Protestant denominations, this notion of wringing the priesthood out of ministry became characteristic, really, of Protestantism. And yet the Mormon fellows, in their belief, this was something that they felt that they needed and indeed was inspired by God and needed to be restored. Now, here's the thing, that in Orthodoxy, the priesthood was never lost, nor was it lost in the Roman Catholic Church. But rather, what we see in this chapter 17 of John, we see what the priesthood is. The priesthood is the alignment of the human person or of humanity with the priesthood of Christ, exemplified in daily life through certain people who are called or ordained to a specific ministry, a priestly ministry, a unique ministry. But imitating Christ and called to imitate Christ in the same way that St. Paul did. And how was that? By commending and lifting up God's people. That's what the priests did in the Old Testament. They had a specific role to pray and lift up God's people to the Lord, to the Father. That's what Jesus is doing in this passage. Right before he goes to his crucifixion, this is his last, as it were, prayer publicly, or in the within earshot of his apostles, because his apostles would hear the prayer and then abandon him. But here he is lifting up his apostles, his followers, those whom he called to be priests or to exercise this priestly way of life. those apostles who were, like St. Paul, to shepherd the flock, but not only do that, but also commend them, as St. Paul did, to the Father, lifting up the flock. That is the nature of Orthodox worship. We are a people that is lifting up gifts to the Lord. And the gifts that we lift up are not just bread and wine, but we are lifting up the gifts of the people. We are commending ourselves, each other, and all of our life unto Christ our God. That is the nature of true worship, the worship of the Father in spirit and in truth. This is a consecration. We don't just consecrate the church. We consecrate people by holy baptism. And in the consecrated church, this rededication, this reconsecration takes place. This lifting up, this commendation once again. The word sacrifice is used in Orthodoxy. The bloodless sacrifice, you'll hear those words as I say the liturgy. That's the sacrifice of Christ himself. And that is the sacrifice which is offered here in this priestly way of worship, which we offer in the Orthodox Divine Liturgy. To sacrifice means to make sacred, literally with one's hands. Taking the gifts and making sacred, lifting them up. Okay, I can't pick each one of you up and lift you up to the Father. So you know what we do? We do what Jesus did. He offered himself up. And so the priest then takes with his hands the gifts that he told us to take, the bread and the wine. He said, do this in remembrance of me, and you lift these up to my Father. And you do what I did before I went to my cross. Commend, lift up, give thanks. I thank you, God. That's what the word Eucharist means. And so the priest speaks these words on behalf of the church aloud and lifts up the people of God in thanksgiving to the Father. This is what the Lord Jesus did, praying for his apostles intimately in love, this communion of love and prayer, the summit of prayer that is manifest in this lifting up, this consecration, this commending, this Eucharist. This is what Christ did. This is what he said, do this in remembrance of me. So that's what the priests in the church do in communion with the entire body of Christ. So these are the elements then, as it were, of this priestly nature of the church. And, you know, I think it's often misunderstood. It's often not understood in the sense that this is a specific and unique ministry. It is characteristic and emblematic of what the church, what in Orthodoxy is about, and why the Orthodox Church needs priests. The church needs priests so that the people of God can be lifted up in prayer, specifically in the Eucharistic liturgy on Sundays, but indeed, Lord willing, a priestly life, which means the commendation of the people in an ongoing way. Now you see what happens in Orthodoxy, there is this notion of the icon or the image. And the idea here is that we see Christ doing this. Christ says, do this in remembrance of me, so we do it. And so we have priests and they offer the liturgy. But when you see the priest, what you're supposed to see is you. It's that way that you learn what this priesthood of the faithful is. It is an offering. It is a specific way of life. It's a consecration. It's a making holy of your life, but then also the power that lies within the human soul to lift up, to raise up in a priestly way. We are a priestly people. And you imitate. You know, it's interesting. It's kind of neat. You know, I talk to the young children, and the parents will report to me, you know, that, well, you know, the child, he's at home, and he's got his little altar there, and he walks around with his censer, and he's doing all of this stuff. He's got his vestments on, or she. But they're doing what they see. And they're imitating it, what, you know, they see physically. But what we have to do is learn how to do this spiritually. This notion of commendation. So what is that? We bring to mind in our mind's eye those whom we love. Just as the Lord brought his apostles together in love. And he commanded them to the Father. That's what we do. So you wonder, well, what am I supposed to pray? This is what you pray. You commend. You know, you don't need a prayer book to do that. You don't even need a candle or a censer. You could do that while you're sitting at the stoplight. Or in other quiet moments during your day. You can commend, especially those perhaps who are in need, but those close to you. You know, this is a sacramental way of worship, of offering. We make this Sunday offering of the liturgy because this is a way of commending ourselves. You know, we talk about the first fruits offering frequently in the church. But when you offer your finances, this is just part of your sacramental offering. It's just an offering of a part of your life to God. It's representative. See, it's that icon idea again. You offer the first portion, but it's symbolic of the rest of you and your family. And when we do this, we experience a sacramental union with Christ. You know, when we come to confession, we're doing two things. Most understand. You come up here, you receive the forgiveness of sins, you go back. Did you ever stop to think that what you're doing, though, is you're recommending yourself to God? You're saying, Lord, I've gone and I've done other things. I've forgotten about you. But instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to commend myself again to you. And so I'm going to come before you and I'm going to ask for your consecration, your blessing upon me, the forgiveness of my sins, and the grace to move forward and to take on that way of imitating Christ in his priesthood in the church. You're committing yourself again to the Lord. You're being reconsecrated, as it were, repurified, so that you can live that holy life more perfectly. This is a restoration of that priestly orientation. You see, we have to get this. There is a world that needs to be lifted up. And you know, it's interesting, the Lord did not, in his prayer, the world needs to be lifted up, but how would it be done? The Lord himself focused on his apostles and those that were with him in his ministry. That's who they pray for. And that's why we in the Orthodox Church pray specially. And my first responsibility is not the salvation of the world. It's your salvation. Lifting you up, commending you to God. And you know what? The rest of the world is going to be saved if you get it. If you and everybody else who's in the Orthodox Church, as that word spreads, as you lift up your little corner of God's universe that he's given to you to lift up to him, then he will work and he will act. He will receive your prayer. He will answer that. He will multiply blessings upon your little corner if you lift it up to him. You see, I'm not called to worry about your corner of the world. I'm called to worry about you. And you are called to be, you know, the one who is the caretaker of your, that which God has entrusted to you. First, your marriage. Second, your children and your family. And then those other relationships, that network of people that God has given to you. Lifting them up as Christ himself offered them. As St. Paul did. You know, that little church that had gathered through his ministry. He commended them. And he would keep them in his heart. He would write letters back and forth to them. We call them the epistles. Constantly commending and offering them to the Lord. You see, not forgetting. When we commend somebody, we do not forget them. It's so easy for us to become self-centered and to forget about others and their needs. Some are called, as I mentioned, to exemplify this priestly way, standing in the midst of the congregation and making it visible. And I invite those who are men called to this ministry to step forward and to take action and become the priestly people that exemplify this dimension of Christianity, which, by the way, is not the fullness of it. It is one very specific dimension. Dare I say that a very important, the flip side of the coin of that masculine priestly dimension is the feminine dimension exemplified in the Theotokos, in her receptivity. Both of these are evident and powerful in the church. But they must be made visible to us. So on Father's Day, what we need are real men. We need real Christian men, priestly men, men who will exemplify this masculinity that Christ shows us in his priesthood, this moral and spiritual strength, this prayerfulness, this love, this sacrificial attitude, this willingness to commend those entrusted to him, to God, realizing that there's only so much that he can do, but that God can do all things. And so, my brothers, those of you celebrating Father's Day this day, I commend you. I commend you to the Lord. And I commend to you these thoughts and this charge. Consecrate yourself first to God. Dedicate your mind, your heart, your bodies to God, to his work. In imitation of Christ, you become that icon of Christ in a priestly way. Consecrate your marriage. Consecrate that relationship. Reconsecrate it. If you've strayed in your mind away from it, reconsecrate yourself to that woman that God has given to you, wherein sacramentally and mystically you will give image again to the love of Christ in his church, sacrificially, in a priestly way. Consecrate your children to him. Just as the Lord prayed for his disciples, his beloved ones, these his spiritual children, and through for all of us, through those who would believe in his name, as he prayed at that hour. So consecrate your children. Don't let a day go by without praying for them. And in that prayer, I don't mean just saying, Lord, help them. You got problems. Take those problems to heart. Know your children. Lift them up to the Lord. You know, you're going to find yourself at some point, I'm sure, as I do as a spiritual father, all the time, that having no strength, having no wisdom, realizing that only the Lord himself can provide what our children need. And in this act, brothers, of consecration of yourselves, your families, your children, and your church to God, let me just speak for a moment about that. That the church needs strong, prayerful men. One of the tragedies of both orthodoxy in the communist countries as well as Roman Catholicism was this notion that piety was for women only. Moral, spiritual strength, you know, it was sort of like the guy would go off drinking and the woman would go to church. That was the dynamic, was it not? In many of our Slavic, you know, communities that we grew up in. This is the way the evil one has undone the strength and the power of the church. But what are needed are men who are consecrated to Christ and consecrated and dedicated to his church and to the service thereof. It will be through the men showing manliness, masculinity, strength, virtue, moral character, dedication, sacrifice, and I'll say that word again, strength in every form. piety and prayerfulness that the bride of Christ, who, by the way, is entrusted to us, guys, that bride will remain, as it's, we say in the marriage ceremony, pure and holy and the radiant star of the world through which the light of Christ will come. So in all of these ways, let's celebrate Father's Day. Let's celebrate who you are, who Christ has made you, who Christ calls you to be. Let's celebrate and give thanks to God for the men who have shown us this path in the past. Those who are saints on the walls and those who are saints in our own personal lives. Who have not yet been consecrated saints, as it were, or sanctified so. But nevertheless, let us take that example. Dedicate yourself, consecrate yourself, lift up your offerings to the Lord, be faithful priestly servants in imitation of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.